This is 1A. I'm Jen White in Washington. There's been an ongoing problem in Detroit for decades. Older adults are dying much sooner than their peers in other parts of Michigan. To find out why, the Detroit Area Agency on Aging commissioned a study that began its work at the end of the 1990s. The latest update was released this week. A clear pattern's emerged: a lack of access to health care, chronic health conditions, and issues tied to systemic racism. And now the coronavirus pandemic is throwing fuel into the existing fire. What lessons are there for other parts of the country, particularly those cities where the population is majority African American? Ronald Taylor is president and CEO of the organization that commissioned the study, the Detroit Area Agency on Aging, and he joins us now. Ronald Taylor, welcome to 1A.
And thanks for having me, Ms. White.
So this 19-year study ended in 2017, so it doesn't include factors from right now, like coronavirus. But without COVID-19 even involved, why are older adults in Detroit dying so much sooner?
Well, we believe that it's because there's a number of factors that that come into play as far as those issues that affect your quality of life, and we call them the social determinants of health. And we just believe that, when you take a look at those social determinants of health, and then also you look at the education and also the access to health care, and then also the lack of what you would say would be medical professionals in regards to dental, behavioral health, and then also in primary care, that those and, the opportunities for employment. And when you take a look across those various spectrums, it's a difficult hill for our community. And, I like to say that I don't think Detroit is unique in its issues or the circumstances in which it faces.
Break down the numbers for us. How exactly do the numbers in Detroit compare to people in the rest of Michigan?
When we take a look at it as related to the conclusions from our study, we're looking at the death rate for Detroit's older adults, or for Detroit's individuals aged is between 50 to 59. Their death rate is 122% higher than the rest of the Michigan, or versus their colleagues in the state of Michigan. And we take a look as far as individuals between the ages of 60 to 74. Their death rate is actually 48% higher for their same cohorts across the state. We also take a look at what this study has also revealed to us is that we have a higher percentage, or 89% of our older adults are living with at least one chronic illness. And 39% of those individuals have three or more chronic illnesses, such as hypertension, arthritis, heart disease, or dementia, or the like. So it's we have a high population, a population that is in high need as related to the chronic illnesses in which they're dealing with.
Why are older adults in Detroit more likely to have a chronic condition than people elsewhere in the state?
Yeah, that's a great question. And we believe that a lot of it is due to some of just the we believe it just doesn't happen as far as being a older adult. It just doesn't happen when you hit the age of 60. That it actually happens throughout the lifespan as far as having to prevent the chronic illnesses and to raise awareness and to address them. And some of the things in which we see is that there are factors such as a lack of health insurance for our younger residents that essentially allows them to develop or to encounter chronic illnesses as they go unaddressed. And so, and then we also take a look as far as some of those other social determinants of health. Again, like your educational system or your access to health care and issues such as that, those are factors that influences our probably higher level of chronic illnesses.
You talk about some of the basic needs that aren't met for adults, older adults living in Detroit, and you mention access to preventative health care, but you also look at things like transportation. How does that fit into this conversation?
Well, transportation plays a big role, and it's part of the equation. And I would say that transportation it's, you know, when you take a look at as far as some of the other factors that play into what's occurring, the ability to have adequate transportation, I mean, it affects whether you can get to employment or not, or, you know, as far as kids going to school and also being able to make it to doctor's appointments. So it plays a huge role.
Well, according to an op-ed in the New York Times this week, it does a deep dive into black and white mortality rates in the country, and that gap is as wide as ever. Detroit is a majority black city. What role does race play in this study?
Race plays, whether we like to admit it or not, race plays a major role into it. And I say that in regards to, because it's, I think the issue of racism has its roots, as related to whether it's from days of enslavement or taking a look as far as segregation and some of the healthcare inequalities or housing policies that have occurred throughout this country. His roots have been able to take hold within other segments of our livelihood, and our ability to receive or to address the health disparities can be traced back to some of these elements of racism.
You know, I'm a native Detroiter, and I know parts of the city have undergone a significant change post-bankruptcy. Detroit went through the largest municipal bankruptcy in history some years ago. And so if you're in downtown Detroit, you may have a certain image of what the city is. But if you live in other neighborhoods, that looks very different. Are those demographic shifts, those changes, playing any role into where resources are funneled in the city?
Yeah, I'm relatively new to the area. So I've been here for a little less than 2 years. And what I've seen as far as the demographic shifts, it's been a city that's rejuvenating itself, and it's a city that is a very, from what I've witnessed, is a very resilient community. And it does appear that there's a livelihood or there's an energy that I do not see that's expressed in the national media in many ways. But I do think that there's areas or there's pockets in the community that more can be done and that additional attention can be paid to. But the overall vibe and the overall sense then, which I've picked up on since my time here in the community, has been a community that is determined to not just maintain, but to excel. And so I'm hopeful that will continue, that energy will continue.
What kind of impact will the pandemic likely have on these numbers in the years to come?
Well, that's one of our biggest concerns, because when we take a look at this, it's almost like we have a crisis that's on top of a crisis that was superimposed on top of another crisis. And so when I say that, we're taking a look as far as we have the COVID-19, and that's a pandemic upon itself. But then we also have the epidemic as related to the chronic illnesses in which our community is facing. And when we talk about 39% of older adults in Detroit are suffering with three or more chronic illnesses, that's an epidemic. But then when you put those two issues on top of the social injustices and the economic and the health injustices or disparities in which people of color have faced for a very long time, it is like actually throwing gasoline on a barn fire in many ways.
We got this tweet from Holly, who says, "I can't imagine that having a portion of the greater Detroit area that hasn't had potable water in 5 years is helping with this." And Ronald, what I hear you saying is that there are some just basic changes that need to happen to shift these numbers. What suggestions does your organization have to solve these issues?
Yeah, we believe that, one is going to, as far as a long-term view, and that long-term view is in regards to the fact that it's really going to take a village, and it's going to take a collaborative and collective and intentional effort. by various entities and industries to be committed to improving these basic needs and or these various factors that impact and influence the quality of life for individuals. In the short term, what we're looking for and what we really think will make some impacts is related to addressing some of these disparities is four things. And one is that we really need to begin to raise awareness and to promote prevention across the lifespan, and not just wait till an individual or a person turns 60 to start to address their chronic illnesses. But we need to do work early on.
And quickly, the other three things?
Caregiver support programs, because caregivers are the backbone of our healthcare system. Then also increased funding for home and community-based services. And then also we think that need needs to be a greater consideration in the allocation of resources.
That's Ronald Taylor. He's president and CEO of the Detroit Area Agency on Aging. Ronald, thanks for speaking with us.
Thank you so much for having us.
Coming up, we're talking to actor, screenwriter, and director Michaela Cole. I'm Jen White. We'll talk more in a moment. This is 1A.